Welcome to Virginia On Demand for this Tuesday. It's a daily podcast from Radio IQ featuring the top stories across Virginia. I'm Jeff Bosser. A state prison guard has been fired in connection with the death of an inmate at the Wolins Ridge Correctional Center in Southwest Virginia last summer. The Richmond Times-Dispatch reports Jason Cope was dismissed 9 months after 27-year-old Aubrey McKay was found in his cell with black eyes, bruises, and a fractured Adam's apple. The Department of Corrections had already replaced the warden and two high-level administrators in Richmond without public explanation. A probe by state police continues. Across the 19,000 acres owned by Virginia's Department of Corrections, seven properties sit unused. The agency says it has plans for some of that land. Dave Cantor has this story.
The Augusta Correctional Center is under contract to be sold, according to a spokesperson for the Department of General Services. No additional information, including the buyer and the sale price, will be released until after the sale is finalized. At the end of its term, Governor Glenn Youngkin directed the state to sell the property to Federal Immigration and Customs Enforcement. After taking office in January, Governor Abigail Spanberger rolled back that order. During this year's legislative session, Delegate Otto Waxman filed a proposal to transfer a portion of another 54-acre prison property to Brunswick County, potentially enabling redevelopment of the site. The Republican legislator said that there was some confusion over language in the bill, resulting in it being left in a House subcommittee. As far back as 2011, state budget language directed the shuttered Brunswick Correctional Center to be sold, estimating that about $11 million in proceeds would be deposited into the general fund. That spending plan specified entities the land could be sold to, including the Virginia Tobacco Indemnification and Community Revitalization Commission, local government, or a development authority. Here's Waxman.
It's my understanding that I think the county has had some people that were very interested in possibly using that property and developing it, but you know, somebody's got a business plan that can only make so long.
More recently, in 2024, an agricultural company based in Norfolk spoke to county supervisors about developing the site. I'm Dave Cantor.
Some reform advocates believe Virginia should extend parole eligibility to all inmates in this state simply due to the financial toll of a large prison population, including those with medical conditions.
In 2025, there was a hiring freeze, not because they were fully staffed. We know that's not the case, but because they overran their health care budget by tens of millions of dollars.
We'll have more on that story from Sandy Houseman coming up in a little bit. The North Carolina Forest Service has issued a statewide burn ban due to an increased risk for wildfires. This impacts all 100 counties, canceling all open burning and burning permits until further notice. Open burning includes leaves, branches, or other plant material. Anyone violating the burn ban can face a $100 fine plus court costs. The Founding Freedoms Law Center has filed a lawsuit in federal court on behalf of a Roanoke County family. It challenges a Virginia rule prohibiting homeschool students from participating in high school athletics. The suit against the Virginia High School League, or VHSL, and the Roanoke County School Board states the rule violates the Equal Protection Clause of the U.S. Constitution in addition to state law. Daniel and Stacy Palmer homeschool their ninth-grade son, Samuel, who wants to compete in the local high school's track and cross-country events. In a statement, officials with the VHSL say members have chosen to limit participation in league-sponsored activities to, quote, students who attend VHSL's member schools. The league is also prepared to defend that policy in court. Legislative efforts seeking to expand public school sports to homeschooled students have failed in Virginia for decades. Carilion Clinic is investing $1.25 million to continue its partnership with Roanoke County Public Schools. The contribution goes to the locality's fundraising campaign for the new Roanoke County Career and Technology Center, which is still under construction. Tara Wiedemann is Carilion Clinic's Senior Director of Human Resources.
We're investing because we need young people to be interested in careers in healthcare, and then we need them to live in the Valley, want to raise a family, want to stay in the Valley. So this is vitally important for us raising interest in these health science careers and then getting them to stay long-term in the area.
Carilion has partnered with the county schools since 2016, providing health science classes along with specialized instruction for EMTs, nurses, and radiological technicians. Construction on the Roanoke County Career and Technology Center is scheduled for completion later this year, with a planned opening sometime in early 2027. Carilion Clinic is a financial supporter of Radio IQ. After 5 years of partnering with the city, A Roanoke area homeless service provider was recently cited by Roanoke officials for alleged zoning violations. Mason Adams has this story.
The Least of These Ministry, or TLOT, was founded during the COVID-19 pandemic amid a surge in the number of unhoused people on the streets of Roanoke. TLOT founder Don Sandoval says code inspectors came when the ministry first rolled out its warming buses in the winter of 2021, and she's not seen them since.
Then on the 25th of February, my staff was served with zoning violations stating that we needed to cease the warming buses, take the lockers down off of our building, and remove our porta potty.
Mayor Joe Cobb says those violations were prompted by TLOT's neighbors.
The primary reason this all came about is through concerns and complaints of neighboring businesses. And those started maybe 18 months ago. And within the last probably 6 to 8 months, that's become a more concerted effort.
Sandoval says the zoning citations took her by surprise.
It did come out of the blue. No one came and dialogued with me.
The surprise was compounded because TLOT regularly works with the city. Police routinely send people to TLOT, and the city's homeless assistance team sets up there twice a week to help deliver services. Cobb says he expects the mayor's Hope and Home Task Force to suggest policy recommendations to address issues like this. TLOT has appealed the zoning citations, and its hearing is set for May 13th. In Roanoke, I'm Mason Adams.
The statewide referendum on a proposed constitutional amendment to redraw Virginia's congressional districts is heating up on the airwaves and in mailboxes across Virginia, Michael Pope reports.
Free and fair elections are the cornerstone of our democracy, but right now they are under threat.
That's former President Barack Obama in a commercial supporting a constitutional amendment to redraw Virginia's congressional districts. But a new direct mail campaign uses a still from that ad to make it look like Obama is against the amendment, urging voters to protect minority representation. Here's Wes Bellamy at Virginia State University.
They really don't value us, and they really think that we're stupid. And I'm hoping that individuals turn out in droves to vote yes before April 20th. First, not for anything else, but just to stick it to the individuals who think that we're really dumb, unintelligent, uninformed voters who can be misled by a mailer like this one.
The most recent mailer follows another one, comparing the amendment to Jim Crow and the KKK. Here's Jatia Wrighton at Virginia Commonwealth University.
It's dishonest in its treatment of historically oppressed voters who are Black and brown people, but especially, you know, the history of Jim Crow in the United States. And so racism has always been an effective tool in this country to ensure that marginalized groups do not gain access to power.
Groups in favor of the amendment have raised significantly more money, and so they're dominating the airwaves. But opponents are using their money in a direct mail campaign that may be coming to a mailbox near you. I'm Michael Pope.
It has been 30 years since Virginia abolished parole, and since then, our prison population has gotten older. That's why last year, the department exceeded its budget for medical care by $23 million. Prompting a hiring freeze that left many correctional centers without enough guards. Now state lawmakers have taken a big step toward reducing the number of people behind bars, as Sandy Houseman reports.
Virginia spends, on average, $70,000 a year to provide medical care for prisoners over the age of 55. They suffer from cancer, kidney failure, heart disease, and other chronic conditions that require expensive testing and daily medication. Among them is Bruce Estes, who went to jail in 2004, convicted of drug-related crimes. While serving a 12-year sentence, he was accused of brutally attacking another inmate, a charge he denies.
This court-appointed lawyer says, look, if you don't plead guilty, you're going to get life. If you go to trial, you're going to get life. He scared the f*** out of me, Sandy. I just don't even want to take a chance on getting life, and I still got 36 years on top of the 12 years for the stuff I actually did.
Today, at 56, he's survived two heart attacks and serious back trouble.
As recent as 2022, I was able to jog 2 miles a couple times a week, and the pain just progressively got worse until I can't even walk to the yard some days.
Tests were ordered, and eventually Estes was taken to a community hospital by security guards, making the trips especially expensive. Virginia spends $1.3 million every week for off-site medical care. X-rays and an MRI showed bulging discs and damage from arthritis, causing numbness in his arms, legs, hands, and feet. His doctor prescribed a pain patch, but for some reason the prison nurse would only approve Tylenol and a painkiller often given for arthritis called Mobic.
I did try the Mobic. The Mobic absolutely tore my stomach all to pieces. And of course, Tylenol did absolutely nothing for the nerve pain.
It took 3 years and a lawsuit to finally get the pain patch originally prescribed.
For the first time in 3 years from something as simple as a lidocaine patch, I was pain-free. I sat down and cried.
Estes is one of about 12,000 prisoners who will soon qualify for geriatric parole. At age 60, having served 27 years of his sentence, he can request early release. Governor Glenn Youngkin's parole board freed less than 2% of eligible inmates, but the legislature has now approved a measure to expand the five-member board.
It splits the appointments, 5 to the governor, 6 to the General Assembly.
Sean Winetta lobbied for that legislation.
It also gives the General Assembly their picks 2 years after the governor is inaugurated. So no one red wave or one blue wave captures the entire board.
He argued people deserve second chances. And from a fiscal standpoint, Virginia has to reduce its inmate population.
We have 2 people in our prisons right now that each cost $1 million a year just in medications. In 2025, there was a hiring freeze, not because they were fully staffed. We know that's not the case. But because they overran their health care budget by tens of millions of dollars, and they actually had to use security dollars to pay the medical bill.
The parole board expansion now awaits a signature from Governor Spanberger, and a resolution from Senator David Marsden will mean a detailed study by the Joint Legislative Audit and Review Commission on whether Virginia should make all prisoners eligible for consideration by the parole board. Again, prison reform advocate Sean Winetta.
They're sort of the gospel. If they say this is what the policy should be and it's based on this data, people listen.
Prisoner Bruce Estes says he doesn't need a study to make up his mind.
You know, there's a gentleman walking across this pod right now that's 88 years old and has been in for almost 50 years. And what good does it do to keep this old man in prison?
Opponents of parole eligibility for all have warned it could put public safety at risk. But Sean Winetta says for financial reasons alone, lawmakers must decide why Virginia keeps people who appear to pose no threat locked up, if it's because we're afraid of them or just angry about what they've done. I'm Sandy Houseman.
Checking out the forecast, breezy and warm the next few days, some rain chances as well. Today, fairly sunny, breezy and warm, and highs in the low 70s to around 83 for Richmond and Fredericksburg. Will be fairly clear tonight, a bit more cloud coverage overnight in western Virginia. Still fairly breezy, lows in the mid-50s and low 60s. Wednesday, scattered showers and storms, especially by afternoon and evening. Pretty breezy, highs in the mid-70s to 87 for Richmond. Thanks for listening to Virginia On Demand, and a little reminder, subscribe and tell your friends about it. For Radio IQ, I'm Jeff Bosser.